Hello, my friends. Welcome to Choice Says Podcast. Thank you for making great choices and listening to Choice Says. I'm your host, Christine Choi. This week's episode was supposed to be an interview, but in light of what happened last week, I'm doing a solo episode because I really wanted to talk about this with you guys. The event that I want to talk about is Anthony Bourdain's death, his suicide, which comes only 3 days after designer Kate Spade's suicide. Of course, both deaths, as all deaths, were very sad. But Anthony Bourdain's, for some reason, affected me a lot more than I would ever have expected it would. So first, I'd like to walk you through my Friday. It was like any other Friday. I woke up at 4:30 a.m., got ready, ate some breakfast, did some work, and around 7, I left to go to work. I got on the subway. I put on some music and read my book. As the train approached my stop, I put my book away and looked at my phone and flipped on my Facebook. Two people had posted an article announcing Anthony Bourdain's death. I immediately looked at the source, CNN. At that moment, all I felt was no. I opened the article and a couple paragraphs in, it said he took his own life. My heart sank. I don't know why it hit me the way it did, but it did. I was in shock. I mean, yeah, he was a pretty dark and broody guy. I mean, I only knew that from following his Instagram. But still, news like this is never easy to swallow, right? I met with my friend for coffee before we had to go to the meeting. We talked about Bourdain's death. How we both enjoyed his shows a lot, how crazy that even with all the success and all the money, it still doesn't mean a person's happy, and how sad this whole thing was for his family and friends. We got to work, and thankfully, being in a work meeting can help you keep your mind off of things. But also, being in the food business, his name came up a few times. And each time, I was just as sad as the time before. So, towards the end of my workday, I went to go see a customer on 29th Street. And when I was done with that, I had to go meet a friend on 10th Street. And it was a really beautiful day, and I had a bit of time until we were supposed to meet, so I started walking. I took a turn on Park Avenue and kept walking. Then I saw a crowd of people standing around and taking photos. When I got near, I saw that it was Brasserie Léol, where Anthony Bourdain was an executive chef for a number of years. It was where he worked when he wrote that piece for The New Yorker, and where he worked when he got discovered, basically. There were flowers all along the handlebars, photographs and notes all over the windows, cigarettes, bottles of alcohol, chef's hat, and some other restaurant-related items all laid out for him. And a notepad, markers, and tape, so anyone can write a letter to him and put it up on the windows. I must have stood there for like an hour. Again, I don't know why, but I just did. I read the notes. I wrote a note. I took photos of the beautiful tribute. And I thought back to a couple of years back when I was going to write him a letter to take me as a free intern on one of his trips. I never wrote that letter. I now wish I had. Then I continued on with my day and met with my friend. I was helping her with a project, so that kept my mind off this, which is good. And we got done with everything pretty late, so once I got home, I went straight to bed. And now what I discovered on Saturday. I woke up on Saturday in somewhat of a funk. I tried to do some work, wasn't really feeling it. And I started watching Kitchen Confidential on Hulu. It's a show based on his book that ran for 13 episodes. It's pretty funny. I would recommend it, especially you restaurant folks. And then I was just surfing the web, and it was all people's tributes to Anthony Bourdain, right? It was very sweet, nice. And then I came across a video of what I think is him reading an acceptance speech for winning the MPAC Voices of Courage and Conscience Media Award in 2014. It was about his trip to Palestine, and it really showed what he was about, why so many people felt connected to him. His message through all his travels was to connect with people and also to connect people with other people. And something that I say often popped into my head, one world, one love. I felt it. He truly believed in unity of humankind, unity of the world. Then it dawned on me what an important person the world had just lost. And at that moment, I realized why his death hit me so hard. It was because the world needs people like him, especially nowadays. He was actively bringing people together. He was actively speaking out against injustice in the world. He was actively standing up for people who needed support. I don't know what kind of demons he had that he couldn't fight off, but we truly lost someone special. There are 123 Americans who die by suicide each day. There are approximately 3,000 people in the world who die by suicide each day. And for every death by suicide, there are about 25 suicide attempts. Suicides can be caused by many different reasons: schizophrenia, drugs, alcohol, seeking for attention gone wrong, even people with terminal illnesses who decide it's time. But at the end of the day, more than half of suicides are caused by depression. So, in this world, more than 1,500 people commit suicide in a day because of depression. This thing called depression that people are still debating if it's a real disease or not. Depression can take over a person's mind completely, to a place where they don't see an out at all. They also come and go in episodes. When you feel better, you might not think to call for help because you think you're okay. And then when you're having an episode, you might not call for help because you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Another thing that really hit me was a video that Talinda Bennington posted of Chester last year. Talinda Bennington is the wife of late Chester Bennington of Linkin Park. It was a video of him sitting around a table with his family, tasting those gross flavored jelly beans and laughing and enjoying life, or at least it seemed like it. That video was taken just hours before he took his own life. Some call it the invisible illness. You can't see the actual illness, but that doesn't make it fake. We have to end the stigma. Mental illness is real. It needs to be talked about, it needs to be dealt with, it needs to be cared for. For those of you in the US, if you're thinking about suicide, are worried about a friend or loved one, or would like emotional support, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is available 24/7 across the US at 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. And for those not in the US, please follow the link in the episode description. There is a Wikipedia link to a list of suicide crisis lines from all over the world. If you've been listening to my podcast, you know mental health is mentioned quite a bit. I'm learning more about it and also more about my own mental health each day. And I've been paying a lot more attention to it in the recent years, but still have a lot more to learn. And I also really want to help raise awareness and make a positive difference. So if you know any ways I can participate in helping, please let me know. I talk about why I started this podcast time to time, and it really just comes down to, you are not alone. Please remember that. Life can really suck sometimes. We know that. And some people go through way worse things than others, and some people hide it better than others, but really, everyone has something. Please know that we're all in this together. You are not alone. One world, one love.